Welcome. Good to have you with us today. I'm Andy O'Rourke, one of the pastors here, and we're glad to have you worshiping with us in person, online. This fall will be 13 years since we started Antioch Community Church. Isn't that crazy? 13 years. Seems like a long time, especially for the small number of you that were around in the beginning. We launched in October of 2008. We were a church plant. A new church out of Hope Community Church downtown. Some of you are familiar with Hope Community Church, the pastor Steve Treichler there. We were sent out with a small team from Hope and started a new church here in Northeast Minneapolis, where we've been ever since. And from day one, part of our DNA, one of the distinctives that we've had is that commitment to help start other churches. Being a church plant ourselves, having it in our blood, being convinced from the scriptures that this is part of Christ's call to make disciples, it's a distinctive, it's a commitment that we have to be part of church planting in a lot of different ways, a lot of different partnerships. So today, we're pausing from our series through the book of Acts, which is actually very appropriate because we've been talking about the Apostle Paul starting new churches as we've journeyed through the book of Acts together. And today we're pausing for a focus on what we're calling Church Planting Sunday, where we're talking about church planting, we're talking about partnerships that we have that you may not be aware of as part of the Antioch family here, and then asking a question, just why do we value this? Why is church planting important to us here at Antioch Community Church? So that's where we're going today. Let me share a little bit of our local and our global partnerships that we have here at Antioch with church planting. First one is an organization that we partner with, a church planting network called Acts 29. The Acts 29 network. Oh, you can go back one side. There we go. We'll get to Mr. Moose. It's a great picture. Just hold on. We don't want to go there yet. Acts 29. The book of Acts has 28 chapters, and the Acts 29 network kind of plays off that and says, we are in chapter 29. We are continuing the story of the spread of the gospel. Not that we're adding to scripture, that's not what it means, but we are continuing the story of the gospel spreading through the good news of Jesus Christ. And the Acts 29 network, it's not a denomination, it's a diverse global movement of healthy multiplying churches. And as Pastor Matt mentioned, we have some hard copy brochures in the back if you want to see more about it. And a brief video that we want to share here, a couple minutes long. So go ahead and cue that up if you would.
Acts 29 is a global network of over 700 churches worshiping in 50 countries with nearly 30 languages. And we are committed to planting healthy, multiplying churches in every corner of the world.
God is a global God in that He works through different ethnicities and cultures and languages around the world.
Being faithful to God's great commission is to make disciples and to plant churches.
Churches characterized by theological clarity, cultural engagement, and missional innovation.
We believe that the church is God's primary mission strategy for establishing His kingdom and His presence on earth.
We want to reach people with the gospel, and our reach is amplified through Acts 29 as a network, so more people will know and worship Him.
Each one of our members has been blessed by all the training that we have received as planters.
We want our church to be a praying church and also a church that disciples others.
This is what we do and this is who we are. We are people who plant churches.
So Acts 29 accomplishes its mission primarily through three things.
By assessing potential church planters.
We provide continued assistance for churches and leaders through coaching, trainings, and also relational connection.
We get to collaborate with the whole bride of Christ to plant churches, not only just in our areas, but we partner globally to plant churches.
And as we partner together with Acts 29, with churches around the world,
our efforts are multiplied and God is glorified when we work together as a church.
This is Acts 29.
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 Woo! Awesome. So since day one, we've been part of a church planting network organization called Acts 29, and also we've been part of, since day one, a denomination called the EFCA, the Evangelical Free Church of America. So now you can go to that awesome picture of Mr. Dan Moose, one of our own members here. So just a little framework to put this into. The EFCA, it's 1,500 or so churches in the U.S., and then here in the state of Minnesota, we're part of one of the districts within that larger denomination called the North Central District. And Dan Moose, who is a member here, a leader here, you've seen him preach from time to time, he is on staff with the North Central District as their church multiplication catalyst, which is a really cool sounding name. Basically means he helps churches to multiply, helps churches to plant other churches. And I love that picture because it really captures his joyful personality. If some of you have gotten to know him, we are big fans of Dan Moose. But I asked him, what are some recent updates in the North Central District with church planting and how can we pray? And he told me a few things that are going on. There's three new churches that have either started or are in the process. One of those is Northside Neighborhood Church in North Minneapolis, which just launched on Palm Sunday. It's a multi-ethnic church of around 35 or 40 people, and that's going well with an awesome presence in North Minneapolis. Also, 2.5 or so hours west of here in West Central Minnesota, we have a church that's working to plant a church in Montevideo. They have a core team of people, but they're looking for a church planting pastor. And then third, Cultivate Church, which is being started in the Highland Park neighborhood of St. Paul. They have a pastor, Steve Erickson, and he's working right now to launch that work in the southern side of St. Paul. A couple of prayer requests. Dan asks that we would pray for every church in our district to see the fields that are white for harvest with gospel opportunities and to do whatever it takes to minister to people that need the gospel and that are far from God. And then second, more specifically, they're looking for two church planters right away. Could use them yesterday. So pray for church planters. Pray for churches to see the need of the harvest that are white. Now, in terms of churches that we have partnered with here at Antioch locally over the years, we directly sent out a church, a team of people to plant a church in St. Louis Park in 2014. Can't believe it's that long ago already, but we had a church planting apprentice here for a couple years, Andrew Peterson, sent him out directly from Antioch with a team, and that church was called City Vision, and a couple years into their planting journey, they merged with another declining church in St. Louis Park, which is now called Park Community Church, which is going very well. It's a partner that we have, and we do various things with and are glad to serve with. Three other churches in recent history that we have partnered with church planting. Center Church is in Fridley. You've seen the pastor, Kevin O'Sell. He's preached here before several years ago, but they're doing a great work in Fridley to the north of us here. Gospel Life Church is a church targeting the Marcy Holmes U of M area. Pastor Jeremy Deck, you've also seen him preach here from time to time. We partner and support them. And also Emmanuel Fellowship in South Minneapolis. Pastor Trent Sensky is also a church that we've partnered with over the last several years. So we have churches that we partner with in different ways, sending people, sending finances, sending out teams, raising up planters. Those are some of those. One last partnership I want to highlight is a global church planting partnership that we have with Indian Evangelical Team, IET. You may not know this, but we help support on a regular basis 6 church planting missionaries in a totally unreached area of India where they're working together to saturate that area with churches and with the gospel. People that have never heard the name of Jesus. And we're not going to put those names and places on the screen for security, but in the back of our sanctuary here, wander over there when you get a chance. All the names of those planters and families are on the wall. You can see where they're at. Pray for them, remember them, lift them up, because it's exciting that we have an opportunity on the other side of the world to be part of people in a totally unreached area hearing the gospel in India. Now, those are some of the partnerships that we have, but the question I want to focus on today and the title of the message is why do we value church planting? Why are we committed to church planting? So I want to spend some time on that for the next few minutes together. At Antioch, we want people to meet Jesus. We want people to experience the life-changing power, freedom of knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord, as their Savior. That's what it means to be a Christian, to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You heard Pastor Matt share our vision statement that we're a loving family inviting all people into the life-changing way of Jesus Christ. It's about Jesus, it's about seeing lives changed. And when you experience that life-changing power through Jesus in your own life, yourself, you want others to know him. You want others to experience that same salvation. And if you don't want that, I question your own experience in knowing Christ, right? Knowing Jesus, you want to, others to see him as well, to experience the life in him. So why are we committed to church planting? Three reasons that I want to go through. Three reasons in our time today. Number one, starting new churches is biblical. Starting new churches is biblical. It's not just a cultural fad. It's not just something that was happening, you know, 20 years ago. It's not just something that was happening in the first 20 or 30 years of the early church in the book of Acts, and now we've progressed on from that. It's biblical. It's in the scriptures. It's part of the mandate that we've been given. Let me look at a couple passages with you. They're both in the Gospel of Matthew. The first one is in Matthew 16, verses 13 through 18. So Jesus, in his earthly ministry, he's having a conversation with his disciples. And he says to them in verse 13 of Matthew 16, it says, "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' And they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' And Jesus said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter replied, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.'" Now notice Jesus' promise in response to Peter's confession of faith. It's through the people that Jesus will raise up, will call to himself, those that know him personally, through those people that he will build his church, that he will build and advance his people. And he will storm the very gates of hell through that church, through those that know him. Listen to this quote from one author about the church. He says, "The church, then, it's not something additional or optional. It's at the very heart of God's purposes. Jesus came to create a people who would model what it means to live under his reign. It would be a glorious outpost of the kingdom of God, an embassy of heaven. This is where the world can see what it means to be truly human." So it's not an add-on, it's not an afterthought, it's part of Jesus' foundational mission from the beginning that he guarantees to Peter and says, "I'm going to build it, this is where I'm going, this is what I'm doing. I'm building my church," and he's still doing that today in our midst. Second passage from the Gospel of Matthew, we looked at this one a little bit last week, Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. After the resurrection, listen what Jesus says in his commission to his disciples. Verse 16, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age.' So last week, as we were looking at Acts 14, we talked about this passage and how this command of Jesus to make disciples is the main thrust, the main command here. Make disciples. That's the mission that we've been given by the Lord Jesus. As we're going, as we're baptizing them, as they're being taught, he's talking about making disciples. But notice, he's not just focusing on evangelizing individuals, individual converts. But what he's telling them in part of this mission, he's talking about making disciples that become part of communities, that become part of church families together. These disciples, they are to be baptized, identify with communities of faith that are confessing the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They're to be initiated in, incorporated into this family of believers, not just individual Christians out going it alone, going their own way, but part of a community, part of a church, part of a congregation, you could say. And that's exactly what you see in the book of Acts, a family, disciples that are bonded together in relationship with one another, part of a community, part of a family, with accountability, with boundaries, with a shared vision and mission, and a shared bond through their faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus is referring to congregations made up of his followers, not just isolated converts. The early church understood that Jesus' mission, it includes starting new churches. We've been seeing this, as I said, in the book of Acts, seeing how the Apostle Paul, and really his whole strategy was basically to start urban churches, to start churches in strategic towns, strategic cities throughout his different missionary journeys in the Mediterranean world. He goes to strategic city centers. And we looked at this last week, but a pattern begins to emerge. Check out this diagram we talked about last week. The four R's of disciple making. This is really what you see the Apostle Paul doing as he goes to these different places in the book of Acts. And it's also a diagram, an image that guides us as a church seeking to make disciples. Reaching people that are far from God, seeing them come to know Jesus Christ in a personal way. Helping people grow and become rooted in the gospel, in who they are in Jesus. Readying those disciples for service, for ministry of all different types, for leadership, and then helping them reproduce, pour into others, and make more disciples. It's an ongoing cycle of disciple making. You see this in the Apostle Paul in his ministry, and we come back to this over and over again as part of how we live out and our method behind making disciples and the mission that we've been given. That we didn't invent. You see this throughout Acts. Paul also started churches that would impact entire regions with the gospel. Check out these verses in Acts chapter 19. We haven't gotten there in our series through Acts yet, but Paul is in the city of Ephesus in this passage. And look at what it says about what he's doing there in Ephesus. Acts 19, verse 8. And he entered the synagogue, and for 3 months spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation, he withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. Now, as you look at Paul going from place to place and city to city in the book of Acts, we've seen that sometimes he's forced out of places, right? Sometimes persecution and opposition to his message, to the good news of Christ, pushes him on to different areas and he has to flee. But other times, he stays for longer periods in different cities. And this is one instance where he stays for the longest period in Ephesus. It says that he was 2 years in Ephesus. And many scholars think that, especially because of that verse 10, all the residents of Asia, that's Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey, heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. Part of what the Apostle Paul was doing here which there's good evidence for, is that there was a church planting center of sorts that he was operating out of Ephesus, training planters, pastors, teams, leaders, sending them out in surrounding cities around Ephesus, because you start to see, as you move through church history, all these churches that were started around Ephesus, sending out planters, sending out teams. It's part of our vision here, that we want to be part of partnering with different church planting works in different ways. Sometimes that's through prayer, sometimes that's financially, and other times that's hands-on, more directly, as we raise up pastors, planters, leaders, as we send people out in the Twin Cities and even beyond to be part of starting new churches. That's part of our vision here at Antioch. So, starting churches is biblical. It's in the Bible. That's probably the most important reason. The second reason we value it is that starting new churches, it creates an environment for multiplying disciples of Jesus. That 4R diagram that we talked about, a new church creates an awesome environment for that to happen, for disciples to grow, for disciples to be made. In a church plant, there are a lot of different opportunities. In fact, many more opportunities for hands-on ministry, for leadership, for service, than in larger churches. Nothing against larger churches. Did you know that here in the Twin Cities, we have one of the highest number of mega churches over 1,000 people in all of the country per capita, which is great. But still, on any given Sunday, guess what? 80% of people in the Twin Cities do not worship in any church. There's still an extremely high number of unchurched people, even with the largest number of mega churches around, right? What does that tell you? That tells us we need more churches, just simply to keep up with the population growth, let alone people that are far from God. So people in church plants, in smaller churches, as you seek to saturate an area with the gospel and with more churches, people have more opportunities to serve. People have more opportunities to serve in ways that maybe they haven't before, as ministry team leaders, as leaders of leadership teams, community group leaders, whatever it might be, service teams. Let me give you an example. On our elder team here, which is made up of five godly qualified men, I'm the only one on the elder team that has served as an elder in another church. I love that. Because we have an amazing group of shepherd leaders on our elder team that I'm thrilled to be part of. But I love the fact that there are guys on that team that may not have had that opportunity in a different church or a larger church. Maybe, but maybe not. But here at Antioch, people, and not just the elder team, people have been able to step into roles and leadership and different opportunities that they haven't had before. It's one of the great things about church planting, the opportunities that it presents. One of our core values here at Antioch is intentional multiplication. We want to be part of multiplying disciples, multiplying churches. But what you see with church planting and how that relates is that church planting doesn't just happen. It's the result of a whole culture of healthy multiplication. It starts with individuals pouring into other people. It starts with you and I multiplying ourselves, seeing pouring into other people, impacting others, other disciples for Christ. And then it's part of a culture of community groups multiplying in a healthy way, of leaders multiplying in a healthy way. And then starting new churches is the overflow of multiplication at every level. A culture of multiplying and a culture of disciple making. So the second reason we believe in planting churches is that it creates an environment for disciple making and multiplication to thrive, to happen. The third reason, and the last one that I want to look at this morning with you, is that starting new churches, it's strategic for advancing the kingdom. Strategic for advancing God's kingdom. In his article, Tim Keller, a former pastor at a church in Manhattan in New York City and author of a lot of different books and a lot on church planting, he has a short article, you can even find it online, it's called Why Plant Churches. And he makes several important points in that article on why church planting is so strategic. Whether you're in an urban area, whether you're in a rural area, it doesn't matter where you're at. But let me highlight three. Tim Keller, he says, number one, new churches, they best reach new generations, new residents, and new people groups. If you look at statistically, new churches are the best ways to reach new people. Second, he says, new churches best reach lost, unchurched people, people that are far from God, people that don't have any exposure to religion or a church service, didn't grow up around it. And then third, the third thing that Keller says, which I find really interesting, is that new churches can help renew the existing churches in a region or city. So sometimes there's this rivalry that doesn't need to exist between existing churches and new churches and church planting, as if planting new churches hurts existing churches. But the reality is that new churches starting helps existing churches to maybe recover, churches that are declining to thrive again. They bring new ideas to the larger body of Christ. They raise up new creative Christian leaders. New churches challenge other churches to examine themselves and maybe ask why they're not healthy. And then new churches can be an evangelistic feeder system for these other churches as there's transition, as people that are involved in church plants end up moving on to more established churches for whatever reason that might be. Listen to this quote by Tim Keller, and we have that on the screen as well. He says, "The vigorous, continual planting of new congregations is the single most crucial strategy for the numerical growth of the body of Christ in any city and the continual corporate renewal and revival of the existing churches in a city. Nothing else, not crusades, outreach programs, parachurch ministries, growing megachurches, congregational consulting, nor church renewal processes will have the consistent impact of dynamic, extensive church planting." This is an eyebrow-raising statement, but to those who have done any study at all, it's not even controversial. I love that last sentence. So what does that mean for us? Let me talk about a couple implications for us as a church family, and then a couple implications for you and I individually, okay? What does this mean for us as a church family, for our Antioch family, that we're a church-planting church? Number one, we're not in the empire-building business. We're in the kingdom-building business. So our goal here at Antioch, it's not to build a brand, to build an Antioch empire, or whatever that might look like. It's to advance the kingdom of God in any way that we can, in any way that we can contribute to that. And then second, we want to hold people, leaders, and resources with an open and generous hand for the mission of Jesus. Okay, here's what I mean by that. Sending people out is success. Keeping people in, hoarding people, driving up the number of people that are part of Antioch, that's exciting, but that's not really our goal of what is successful. As we look at the scriptures, we see that success is really multiplying. Success is sending out. And it's at the same time very, very difficult to do that, isn't it? It's hard for me as I personally pour into somebody that's going to be sent out to be a church planter, and they become part of this Antioch family, and you grow in relationship and friendship, and then you send them out to see them a lot less. Some of you that were around when we sent out City Vision Church in 2014, that's hard to do. It's hard to multiply people out of a community group. It's hard to multiply and send people out of a church. But the reward is far worth it. More people coming to know Jesus Christ. People that Antioch would not reach apart from sending out a church in that area. It's worth it. It's worth it. And We've seen in the book of Acts, Acts 13, verses 1 through 3, the church in the city of Antioch, they sent out their best. They sent out their best leaders, Paul and Barnabas, their top two guys, two of their pastors. They sent them out for the mission of starting new churches. How hard must that have been, right? To send out the best. But that's part of what we want to do here at Antioch. We want to have an open hand to resources, to people, to leaders, that if God leads, if God directs, we're overjoyed, as hard as that is, to send them out for a new work to help advance the gospel. Well, what about you personally? What are some implications for you being part of a church planting church, if you call Antioch your home? Well, I want you to ask yourself a couple questions. Number one, how can Jesus' mission through the local church become more of a priority in my life? Ask yourself that. How can Jesus' mission, specifically through the local church, and seeing more churches established, how can that become more of a priority in your life? We talk about this a lot, but mission, it shouldn't be just something that we do, right? Like an activity that you need to add on to an already busy schedule. Mission is part of your identity as a follower of Jesus Christ. If you know Jesus, if you're united with him by faith, you have been drafted into mission. You are a missionary, you could say. It's who you are. It means that living on mission, it's a reality that should impact and influence every area of your life. So not just an activity, not just a slice of your pie during the week of what you're doing, but everything you do is viewed through the lens of mission. Everything you do, of living on mission. The Christian life was never intended to go it alone on mission either. You're part of a larger family, a church community that's on mission together. You need the church family, and the church family needs you. The church family needs you. So what might it look like for you to become more involved, contribute in greater ways to that mission through the local church? Second question to ask yourself is, how is God calling me to contribute to gospel multiplication, to invest yourself in others, to be part of groups that multiply, to be part of, if you're a leader, pouring into another potential leader and multiplying yourself? What's one way that you can do that? What's one key takeaway in this conversation on church planting that we've been having today? What's one key takeaway for you? Let me close with this quote, another one from Tim Keller. He says, church planting, it's not only for frontier regions or pagan societies that we're trying to help to become Christian. Church societies will have to maintain vigorous, extensive church planting simply to stay Christian. One church, no matter how big, will never be able to serve the needs of such a diverse city. Only a movement of hundreds of churches, small and large, can penetrate literally every neighborhood and people group in the city. The mission of church planting, it's a worthy cause. It's something that we believe in, something that has been part of our DNA and a distinctive of Antioch for a long time, ever since day one and before day one. And we're not the only one that believes in this and that is doing this in the Twin Cities, but we're part of a larger kingdom network of churches that believes in church planting. And if you're part of Antioch community, you have the joy of being part of a church that is committed to that as well, with however God might lead in the future, in your life and in my life. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this time to worship you. Thank you for the mission that you have, as followers of Jesus, drafted us into, Lord. Thank you for your church family that you've made us part of. You've adopted us as your own. We're part of a larger community, a larger family through faith in you. And Lord, would you show us what it looks like to contribute, to be more involved in more supportive of and giving to this mission of starting new churches through prayer, through finances, through our own personal time, talents, treasure in our lives, Lord. We pray that you would further your cause, Lord, not just in our area, not just in our region, but globally. Lord, finish the work that you have started. We pray, Lord, that when that work is done, when your mission is complete, we look forward to when you return one day, Lord Jesus, worshiping you with all those that you've called to yourself. We pray this in your name. Amen.